Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome back to the Redemption Report podcast. Today I have a friend of mine I've been going to church with for the past 2 years, Brian Feit. So thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I've got to know you a little bit here and there. I know you have a love for sports and, you know, baseball kicking off at the point of this recording. Are you still hopeful about the Reds season?
I am probably overly hopeful. It's my diehard love for sure in the sports world.
Okay, so not too far into the season where you've lost hope. But I'm a Rockies fan, he's a Reds fan, so our hope usually by the end of April is squashed.
But yes, sadly, yeah.
Can you tell us a little about where you're at in life right now? Like, I know you work for a company that regionally people might know, but they're growing and going elsewhere called Kona Ice. But what do you do there, or what are some other things that you'd characterize you today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at this point in my life, I've been married for over 10 years. Finally got our first house and settled down after moving around several times, a couple different states, couple kids, an 8 and a 4-year-old, and just working at Kona Ice.
Can you tell what is that? What is it? Could you explain to people that don't know?
Kona Ice?
Yeah.
So we're actually now the largest food truck company in the world, actually. Largest food truck company. Got 3 brands going. Started off as a little local shaved ice business, and it's grown into a nationally known brand, about 1,600 franchises nationwide. Shaved ice, coffee, and cookies and ice cream.
Gotcha. So, and then you're like support to help all the owner operators that are out on the road. Is that right?
Yeah, I do remote truck support, remote equipment support, as well as research and development.
So, yeah, keeps you busy. Sounds like you're on call a lot and having to answer a variety of questions. So,
absolutely on call all the time.
Well, Brian, how did you grow up? What part of the world were you, and kind of just give us an idea of what your family looked like, or just the circumstances around your formative years?
Yeah, originally born in the Fort Lauderdale, Florida area. My parents both taught at a small Christian school down there. We actually lived on the school grounds in like a little trailer park. From there, we moved back up here, which is where my mom's family's from Louisville, Kentucky. Dad's family's from like the Milford, Ohio area. Moved up here. Dad started teaching and as well as principal of a Christian school up here, Calvary Christian School. From there, lived mostly in like the Taylor Mill, Covington area for most of my life. Went to Calvary as well as Scott High School. Stayed locally for college as well. Went to NKU. After school, I've lived in Texas, Ohio, and in Kentucky.
Okay.
Lincoln as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so all around the Cincinnati area for those that aren't too familiar with the kind of the locale. Yep. When was the first time you heard the name of Jesus? Do you remember that, or did you grow up with that? Or
yes, it's been pretty honestly ingrained in me from a young age. I have two uncles that are missionaries. Dad's parents always involved in church. My mom's dad was a pastor my whole life. So just it's been taught to me at a very young age.
Yeah, yeah. I know we had your dad on before. He was the second episode, I believe, of the podcast. So he got to share a little bit about how he came to Christ, and so that's cool to see that passed on to the next generation.
Absolutely.
When was the first time you recall? You know, you heard about Jesus from a young age, but like when it actually became personal for you, like where you saw like I have a need in this area, when did Jesus kind of become more of a personal thing for you?
Yeah, honestly, like I said, I was involved with it my whole life from a young age, but really, I still remember I was 8 years old, and we were going to Calvary Baptist Church. My parents were involved in the choir as well as Sunday school teaching. And I remember I was sitting through a message with Pastor Wagner there, and he had a message that just touched me, and I had really decided that I needed Jesus in my life and to actually commit to him. Mm-hmm. And I still remember, it was funny enough, it was in my parents' minivan in a Wendy's parking lot.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I still remember my dad and my siblings went inside, and it was just me and my mom in the car, and I prayed to ask Jesus into my heart and wanted to follow him from there on.
So it wasn't the Wendy's meal that scared yeah. you into heaven. Okay.
No.
Or it was that good, it made you taste heaven. Yeah. Okay. So when you made that decision, was there anything before that or anything that you had to count the cost or anything that, did you have any reservations of following Christ at that point in time that you can recall?
I mean, maybe a little bit, because as a kid, my dad would force me to go sing in the kids' choir.
Okay.
You know, those kind of things that I didn't really want to do at that age and didn't think it was cool. I'd rather just be running around playing. But something about the message that day just really, it really tugged at my heart, and then I decided what I needed to do.
Yeah. I grew up participating in children's choir as well at church. It definitely seems like a 90s Baptist thing that people did. But
absolutely.
I can understand that when you get involved in different things as a child, if your heart's not in it, it could seem like, well, this is what Christianity is, or this is what relationship, and you can even boil it down to things that you don't like I have to sit in a boring service and I have to go sing and make a fool of myself in front, and why would I want to follow Jesus if that's what the relationship is boiled down to?
Right. Yeah. If I gotta do things that I really don't want to do, I'd rather be outside playing with my friends or watching cartoons. But yeah, the reservation is for sure there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool that God revealed himself and showed that, you know, that you were in need of a savior at that Sunday service. You said your mom was in the car with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, did you approach her, or was she following up on with you after the service? Or
I remember I had brought it up and just asked her, you know, confirmed what I needed to do, and mm-hmm. and she talked me through, you know, what I needed to do, and I prayed the prayer.
That's great. Yeah. Great. Confessing your sin and accepting Christ, that's really wonderful. Do you remember any of the reaction of people in your family or any of your friends? Did you share that with others right away, or was it something that people celebrated, or do you remember any of those?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everyone was super excited. I was definitely excited to tell everyone. You know, at a, maybe not all kids, but, you know, you're usually more outspoken at that age, I feel like. So I was ready to share the news with everybody at that age. Had to go sit through I was going to be baptized, you know, I wanted to get baptized, and sat through, I think it was about a week long class just to, you know, go over,
mm-hmm.
you knew exactly what you were doing, and it's definitely the steps I wanted to take.
Cool. And so were you got baptized shortly after mm-hmm. accepting Christ?
Yeah, probably within a month.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I definitely like when that decision is able to be accompanied with baptism, where it's not, you know, you're a kid and you need to have that delayed, or, you know, prove it to me first. You know, I like when you can make that public announcement very close by. In regards to changes in your life, you know, you were 8 years old, so don't know that you were a king of the streets or anything like that at that age. Maybe there wasn't a huge shift that needed to occur, but what are some changes that you observed, or that you, looking back and say, I grew or I changed as a result of following Christ?
Yeah, we'll say maybe not some change that happened immediately, you know, but thinking back on the unique perspective of getting saved so young, I hadn't really experienced the secular world yet mm-hmm. that much. So that was a struggle as I got a little bit older, you know, going through high school and college. I definitely probably got into things I shouldn't have gotten into. But the great thing about accepting Christ into your heart is, when you truly believe, once you're saved, you're always saved. And
mm-hmm.
I could definitely always felt, you know, immediate remorse, or just that I should have not been doing what I was doing at the time, especially when I was a little bit older and kind of just, you know, straying away.
Mm-hmm.
But God certainly tugged at my heart and pulled me back around and got me in the right direction.
Yeah. I remember when I was in high school, I had a youth pastor kind of talking about assurance of salvation and pointing to passage like John chapter 10, where it talks about, you know, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch or pluck or pry them out of my hand. And then talking about how if you have accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And mm-hmm. so if you do something wrong, like if you feel that guilt and remorse that like, hey, I've done something wrong and I need to repent or things aren't right between me and God, that's evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so based on what you're saying, that I mean that that's very, very true that you can go astray, you can mess up, but like you're going to have the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And it sounds like that was your experience as well.
Yeah. That's one of the things that for me proves the existence of God is that you can feel the Holy Spirit living in you. You can feel like you have a conscience, you know, you can feel whether you're doing right or wrong. And, I believe that's one of the ways that that's God's proven to me that he's real.
Yeah. 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 It's cool how he develops and, you know, I think even a passage like in Psalms where it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, you delight in God. It's not just about getting what you want, but like he shapes your desires. He shapes your understanding or the way you think and develops that conscience, like you're saying. What are some, like when you accepted Christ, you know, it was 8 years old and got baptized shortly thereafter. And obviously you've lived a lot of life since then, but was there a point in time where your faith was put to the test, or you had a crisis of faith, as some people call it, or where a point where you had to say, well, I'm going to decide to follow Christ, like for me and my house, one of those type moments or a dedication of some sort?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Definitely while in college, going to a secular college, especially when what was my major turned out to be my minor was anthropology, which is actually very worldly driven degree, going into, you know, evolution, how the world was created, all that kind of stuff. And it actually more cemented my faith in God from what I knew.
Yeah. It's cool how God can use even something very secular to shape your view of him mm-hmm. when he's involved in it. What are some of the biggest joys you've experienced since knowing Christ?
Some of my biggest joys are a few different things. Going around the country with my uncle's soccer camp, helping lead kids to Christ is one of my biggest joys, is definitely talking to kids about God. Going on a few different mission trips to Mexico with my now wife, seeing all those kids come out of nothing, and then the joy in their face when they learn that someone loves them and someone cares about them and they have a future, as well as singing and playing music is also one of my greatest joys. Cool. Singing to God, I do it all day long, honestly.
Yeah. I know you lead worship at the church we go to, so is that something that you picked up, you know, playing guitar and singing from an early age, or is it something you had to develop later on?
Yeah. Like I said, my dad always, they were always in the worship teams at church. I was in band at a young age, sang kids choirs, just kind of picked up the guitar and taught myself how to play. And I've always had a passion for playing the guitar and singing in front of people ever since then. And honestly, one of the greatest joys in my life is because we play so much Christian music and I'm always singing songs at home. When I hear my kids singing the songs,
yeah,
it's the best, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been teaching our 2-year-old daughter, Jayla, different songs. A lot of that's our kind of a devotional time before bed is singing some songs. And so cool just seeing how she sings them throughout the day. Or even Caitlin was watching some kids at a daycare type thing, and she was going around to kids older than her, teaching them how to sing a song like He's Able, you know, just kind of like, come on, do it. He's Able. It's just like, that's wow. Awesome. Yeah. It's really special when God can work in that way. And they see that exemplified in their dad. So, when someone follows Christ, it's not always an easy road. It's not always like everything works out perfectly. Things are challenging. And so when someone follows Christ, they have to count the cost and think through that. What would you say is one of the, if you're being honest with someone or just saying, hey, to walk with Christ involves this, what would you say is one of the biggest challenges or struggles you've had in following Christ?
you know, especially around the college age, because it's really easy to get sucked into, you know, partying, going out to bars and parties with friends, that sort of thing. So really, I think the biggest challenge is if you're going to walk with Christ, yeah, you got to be willing to know that you're going to lose some friends probably along the way. Not necessarily, but I think you have to be okay with that. You know, leaving the secular world behind and doing what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus talks a lot about leaving friends and family behind in order to seek after him. And so that can be a challenge. And fortunately, some people prioritize that over following Christ, but you know, to truly follow, sometimes you do have to lay that aside. So thank you for sharing that. Someone hearing your story, if they were to have one big takeaway from it, what would you want to leave them with?
I think the biggest takeaway is just to, no matter if you're going through trials or not, God's always going to be there by your side. So just, you know, continue to trust in him, and he'll get you through the struggles you go through in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep that trust in God, you know, even when it doesn't make sense. That's great. Yep. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us, and hope it's an encouragement both to you and everyone that hears it. So thanks a lot for coming on.
All right, thanks for having me.
How beautiful it is when one comes to Christ and the story that accompanies it. Even at a young age, Brian clearly knew his need of a Savior, and from the Wendy's parking lot, called out to Jesus to take his sin. The same can be true for you today. No matter where you are or what you've done, you too will be saved and experience peace with God if you follow Romans 10:9-10, which says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes in his heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with his mouth, resulting in salvation." If you'd like to speak with me directly about how you can have a relationship with God, please reach out to me by going to twertproductions.com and utilizing my contact information to call or email me, and I'd be overjoyed to share what Scripture says regarding a personal relationship with God. I hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Redemption Report.